Now, sports and other stuff. The Closers. Join the talk now. 800-229-5378. News Talk 1240 KLIK and News Talk 1400 KFRU.
Martinez, a base hit into left. He's driven in four.
And there goes Kane to second. And on the way to third. And they're going to send him home. Here's the throw to the plate. Not in time. And Lorenzo Kane circles the bases on a single and an error.
And Carnes, after giving up the triple and the near home run, strikes out three in a row.
And a shot. He scores! Backstrom, 3-0, 16 seconds in.
It is high. Far, it is gone over the dead center field wall. Matt Holliday just drove one about 420 feet.
Playoffs are boring, and these two dominant teams on a collision course. What do you think about that?
Blah 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 blah.
Hook pass to Draymond, left angle three. It's up and good.
You're not allowed to have an opinion, Draymond. You're just supposed to play basketball. Right?
I think from where we started, we're further along than when we began.
Happy Holliday.
Welcome in. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. I'm doing all right. All right. Yeah. Nice. Happy holiday.
Happy baseball day. And it's not in the state of Missouri. In the state of Florida, actually.
Well, life is good when you head to the land of retirement. Unless your Sprint flight was canceled.
Sure.
And then you have riots in the airports. But anyway... Yeah, good night last night for the Cardinals and for the Royals. The opening montage, Royals Radio Network, Fox Sports Midwest, NBC Sports Net, WFAN, Warriors Radio Network. All that going on for, just last night.
Mm-hmm.
Warriors roll on. They beat the Jazz.
Yep.
So you heard from Quinn Snyder in there, as now he gets to rework and continue to improve his roster for next year. 8-0 are the Warriors.
Yep.
8-0 are the Cavs.
Correct. Blah, 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 blah.
Draymond Green with his considered opinion on how exciting these playoffs have been. And I've heard several heavyweight commentators say NBA playoffs this year are boring, dull, predetermined. It's going to be the Warriors. It's going to be the Cavs. It's just a question of how many games will they lose on the way to meeting in the finals for the third straight year. This is dull.
To a point, yeah, but the system is set up to be so. I mean, you know, the best of seven series, home court advantage, 16 teams out of the league make the playoffs. I mean, there's bound to be chalk.
Mm-hmm.
The reason the NCAA tournament is so great is because of the one and done. Now, granted, that wouldn't have tripped up the Cavs or the Warriors yet, but in a one and done situation, the Celtics would be gone. The Raptors could have been gone. I mean, the Spurs could have been gone.
They all
stubbed their toe in big ways in series, and if that's how you're going to kind of look at that, then you know, it seems crazy to me that you're going to sit there and complain about the best teams making it when the system is set up so the best teams make it.
Well, and that was the entire reason why they went that first round, best of seven. Because it used to be, back in the day, best two out of three. And people were complaining that, hey, listen, best two out of three, that's too much of a crapshoot on this.
Right.
You know, it may not allow the best team to advance.
Well, and the owners want more games to make a little extra money in the playoffs.
Wait a minute, what?
I know. Shocking.
They want more money?
I mean, hence the wild card game in the MLB and the divisional playoffs and playoffs only expanding and only the leagues getting bigger and taking more teams into the playoffs.
You're ruining it.
I do that. I know. I know I do.
That carefully constructed world of we're just wanting to, you know, it's competition for competition's sake. It's, you know, may the best man, the best team win and move forward. And you say it all boils down to money.
It doesn't all boil down to money, but the money has...
Oh, so now you're walking it back.
No, the okay. money has made decisions.
Uh-huh.
The money made decisions tend to favor the best team each year. If you're an owner and you've invested your money wisely and you have the best team, then you want the best chance to maximize the profit on that by playing the most games.
And one of the ways of doing that
is... And hoisting a title.
Yeah, at the end, you want to hoist the title.
Well, that's playing the most games.
Yes.
You play the most games, you win.
Well, not necessarily.
Right. There's only going to be two teams for playing the most games. But you
could have several seven-game series on your way, too, and then just get swept out in four, and you will... You know, the team that could have won is not necessarily always the one that's going to play the most games. But it's just... It's amazing, you know, we talked about it yesterday with baseball that, hey, baseball should go institute the new rule that they end in the 12th inning if it's a tie and just move on. It won't affect that many games. And now you're hearing after the Warriors sweep and after the Cavaliers sweep that the NBA playoffs are boring. We're tired of having the same two teams meet in the NBA finals year after year after. Oh, it's just been twice.
Right.
But they make it seem like it's been a millennium since we had that run with the Celtics and the Lakers.
Sure.
Or since the Bulls made it to the final. Were people bored then?
No.
They weren't bored during the Lakers-Celtics stuff because most of those weren't actually on live TV.
Right, and they were watching on tape delay.
Yeah, which is great for the bookie.
Right.
And that unsuspecting person who didn't realize that this was actually already over. By the way, NBA TV is rerunning the Cavaliers-Raptors final game
mm-hmm.
today.
Yeah. Don't bet on it.
No.
Yeah.
No. If you do, take the Cavs in the over.
Yeah.
You could do that. Docket for today. Blake Topmeyer, Columbia Daily Tribune, will join us here on The Closers. He will do so at about 4:20 today and at 5:08. David Leske from Baseball Prospectus Kansas City will join. Sam Mellinger the other day advocated fire sale. You've won one in a row.
That's not a thing.
What?
You've won one. There's no row.
You're a Royals fan. Accept it.
No.
You've won one in a row.
One.
Do you have a fire sale?
Yes. You're just trying to raise the trade value at this point.
Okay. Well, that's a good thing that they're playing the Rays then.
Apparently.
Yes, that could help. That slump buster.
Yeah.
Nice start by Carnes last night. You get 13 hits, 7 runs.
Left with, what, runners on base and could have gotten real bad.
Okay, so.
And then Soria tried to give it all back.
But they won.
They did win. No, it's great. They did win.
You're looking around, you're lifting the carpet to see if the cleaning lady got all the stuff or if she just swept it under the rug. Leave the rug down for right now. Hey, be happy with the small things. Cardinals are in first place.
Yeah,
Royals
they are
no longer the worst team in Major League Baseball.
Okay.
Today. That could change.
Okay.
They won.
Uh-huh.
They put up 7 runs.
Correct.
They got a Little League home run last night.
Truth?
Tampa Bay had 4 errors.
Right.
And the Royals capitalized.
Uh-huh.
I mean, there's a lot of good right now for the next hour and a half.
Mm-hmm.
Hour and 45 minutes.
Completely. Totally good.
Till the first pitch is thrown tonight by the tall, lanky 37-year-old Chris Young.
Rainbows and puppy dogs. It's all
absolutely
good. Rose-colored glasses. We're super excited about the Royals.
Are you excited enough to talk to David Leske about the Royals?
I am.
Okay. All right. Now, for those of you who were not with us yesterday, why not is the first question. Secondly, if you missed yesterday's show, you can catch it on the podcast page at kfru.com and klik1240.com.
Mm-hmm.
And This is what you will be listening for during the course of today's show.
This is only
a test.
A preview test.
Correct. Just a test. Okay. Nate Karns' record is 2-2.
Okay.
Okay. So we'll take caller number two in hour number one and caller number two in hour number two.
Okay.
That's easy.
I get that.
Got
sure.
that. All right. Not right now.
Not right now.
Not right now. But when you hear this during the course of the show today, not right now, during the course of the show today, that will be your cue to call. Okay. Now on the line are ticket packs for this weekend at Kansas Speedway. Friday night truck race, Saturday night NASCAR race.
Okay.
One pair of tickets to each event.
I like this. I like all of this. This is good.
You're not eligible.
I know.
Okay.
I can still like it.
Okay. All right. Good.
Yeah.
Okay. So you like Hard It, right?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Faves. Yeah. It's my faves.
Okay.
Heart-shaped hands. Yeah.
Yeah. Woo. Yeah, there we go. Oh, look at you.
Yeah.
Except this is radio.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Can't believe what I'm seeing, except this is radio. So that'll be up on the docket today. I think we're going to do at least two, maybe three, but probably just two, because we want to have these cleared by Thursday after the show, so that on Friday you can head on to Kansas Speedway and take advantage of our generosity.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's how we do this. Blake Topmeyer, Columbia Daily Tribune, next.
The Closers. Join the talk now. 800-229-5378. News Talk 1240 KLIK and News Talk 1400 KFRU.
Hey, baby, why you look so hey, welcome back. It's Closers here.
That's really happy music.
I know.
Wow.
Well, it's really happy times.
It is.
It's happy, happy times. You don't like happy music?
That was just
The Royals win.
Mm-hmm.
Cardinals are in first place.
Correct.
Columbia College has a brand new head coach
for
basketball.
Women's basketball.
Women's basketball.
Don't make my heart stop.
Sorry,
there.
Bob. Whew. JK,
goodness.
Bob.
Yeah.
Softball over there is ranked number 3 in the country.
Right.
They're hosting softball action this next week.
Yeah.
Blake Topmeyer's on the phone.
He is.
He's still writing for the Columbia Daily Tribune.
He is.
Still posting on Twitter.
I like all these things.
Why not happy music? Right, Blake? Happy music. Happy music time.
Sure. Yeah. Absolutely, Jordan.
Okay, you're not believing this either. Man.
I'm going to need, you know, I mean, that was fine, but I think it's about time. I need some, like, really intimidating intro music, you know, something to really set the tone, like something that a WWE wrestler would walk out to that really strikes some fear as they get ready to step into the ring, George.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll effort that. I'll get the
Jay, staff. You got any ideas? Anything for me?
Yeah. I'll work on it here while we're doing this, and we'll come up with some suggestions by the end.
Our crack like production staff.
Mm-hmm.
Put the pipe down.
Nope.
Okay. Jeez. It's so tough getting them off the meth and onto the crack. Anyway, Blake Topmeyer, Columbia Daily Tribune. You can follow him on Twitter at @BTopmeyer. A lot of stuff is going on, and let's start with apparently the coach's job is now not only just 24/7, but 24/7, 365 with all the attendant slash marks in there. The early signing period has been approved. In a nutshell, what does that do for the University of Missouri and Barry Odom's job? Easier or harder now?
Well, I think it could be either of those things. I think on the good side of it, for Missouri and for college programs everywhere, it provides an opportunity to lock up some of your recruits 2 months early that maybe think that they're not going to waver. You know, if you've been committed for a while, if you want to shut down your recruitment and really just put an end to this thing, now you can sign in December. And the upshot of that for college programs is they no longer have to then spend recruiting hours and spend visits, home visits with those recruits that have already signed, and they can kind of apply those hours more toward some of the guys who are undecided or maybe kind of wavering in their commitments. As it stands now, you know, even if you got kind of a long-time commit, you're still spending hours recruiting him all the way up until the finish line in February. And so now if you can get some of those guys signed and finalized in December, it kind of frees you up on the trail a little bit more. And it gives you an idea, of kind of what your class is going to look like a little bit sooner. I guess the flip side is, although it allows your program to sign guys early, it also means other programs are signing guys early. So you look at the last couple of years and some guys that have flipped late that Missouri's benefited from. I'm thinking like Demaria Crockett is a great example. You know, it was a January flip, in his commitment from Boise State to Missouri. I don't know, would he have been an early signee anyway? Who knows? You know, maybe some of these guys, a lot of these guys, I think, still aren't going to sign until February. Others that maybe you were able to persuade at the end, if they've signed in December with other programs, it's game over.
Blake, there's a trickle up effect. Very rarely when someone flips, are they going to a lesser program in the recruiting process? So, you know, as you talk about that and, you know, as these guys sign, it seems kind of like the benefits the, you know, at each step down the ladder, it seems like there's a little more of a benefit to that. But as that goes, you know, I know Coach Odom has said it'll take several cycles and pretty much everybody else kind of agrees with that. But, you know, who is there a big winner here? I mean, is it, you know, a kid who signs early and then has a semester off from, or, you know, or most of a semester off from all the recruiting nonsense? Who's the big winner out of this?
Well, it's probably hard to say, but to your point, I generally agree with you. Like, I think you're only going to sign early if you got a big time offer and you're not going to want to wait around and see what comes in the last 6 weeks. So I guess the big winners, I guess maybe from that belief, you could argue are the Power Five programs. I think the other way of looking at it is kind of the losers of all this maybe are the Group of Five schools. Like, I really don't think you're going to see kids that have committed to Group of Five schools using this December signing period, because why would they, you know, cut out six more weeks that they can kind of hang around and hope for that Power Five offer if that's their dream? So, yeah, I don't think this really does much for those Group of Five schools, for Power Fives, especially the real major power brokers. I think they're the ones that are probably going to be signing more of the kids in December. You know, I mean, how many kids Missouri's signing in December? I expect it's not going to be a ton. I mean, to Barry's point, I think we are going to have to wait and see for a few cycles to really see how this shakes out. But I think it's mostly going to be the early enrollees who are kids that were signing financial aid agreements anyway. Now they'll just sign a national letter of intent if they're going to early enroll. And maybe some a few other kids that aren't going to early enroll but have had their minds made up for 8 months and, you know, have no intention of changing. Maybe Missouri was their dream school. You know, I'm thinking maybe in-state kids in particular with that. I think those are the types of kids that Missouri is going to sign early. The early enrollees and the ones that this is their dream school, they don't want to go anywhere else.
Blake Topmeyer, Columbia Daily Tribune with us here on The Closers. And toward the in-state stuff, that Missouri Group of 10 were hosted a couple of months ago, and the first commitment, at least verbally anyway, has been made, and it's Cameron Brown to Nebraska. Is this good news or is this bad news portending for the other nine that remain?
Well, I think it stings. I don't know that it necessarily indicates what's going to happen with the other nine, and I would say it's probably unfair to have a huge reaction each time one of these kids commits, because we knew all along that Missouri wasn't going to get all 10. They weren't going to get 8 of the 10. They probably weren't going to get 7 of the 10. You know, they were going to lose at least a few of these players to other schools. But having said that, until Missouri gets a few of them to commit, I think there is going to be some raised eyebrows anytime a member of this group of 10 kind of high-profile prospects that all have Missouri offers, talking about these in-state kids, commits to a different school. You know, and until Missouri can land a couple commitments, I do think that is something that's going to be scrutinized a little bit, fairly or unfairly. So this is the first. I don't think it's going to be the last of the 10 to commit elsewhere. And I think Missouri is going to get a couple of them too. But, you know, it might take a while for Missouri to get some of them, because you wonder how many of these kids want to see what happens in the 2017 season, and do they start to see any progress in Missouri's program after back-to-back losing seasons?
If I set it at the over-under at 4, you go over-under or push?
You're making it tough, because if you would have just asked me for a general number, I would have said probably they get 3 to 5. I mean, I don't know. Oh, we're geez. Just trying to predict the decisions of you know, 17, 18-year-old kids.
Why not? Barry Odo's putting his future in their hands.
I mean, it's critical, and I really think that part of how many they get is going to come down to, does Missouri win 5 games this year, or do they win 8 games this year? You know, I think some of these players won't decide until October, November, December, you know, when they've had a chance to see kind of what type of season Missouri's going to have. But, yeah, I think somewhere right around that 4 or 5 mark is probably what they can realistically hope for out of the 9 remaining.
Honest opinion, does the noise, the positive noise and vibe around Missouri basketball help Barry's job of recruiting for Missouri football?
No, I don't think it matters one bit. It certainly doesn't hurt, but I don't think it has much impact. I mean, I think these guys, of their list of concerns when it comes to picking a school, I think the success or buzz around the school's men's basketball program ranks probably about 27th on the list, and it ranks behind, you know, how many alternate uniforms do I get? What color are my shoelaces going to be? How big's my locker? You know, I mean, I think all those things are probably more important to most of these kids than how many games is the men's basketball program going to win. I don't think they care.
When people say seal the borders, were they talking about Alabama or were they talking about Missouri? Because apparently with the offers going out, it seems like we're trying to seal the borders of Alabama.
Well, I mean, I guess you cast a wider net and maybe catch more fish. But, you know, overall, in terms of sealing the borders, it's something that Missouri did well for pretty well, not great, but pretty well during the Pinkel era. I mean, there were some players, in particular from St. Louis, that they missed, but you're never going to keep all the talent in state. And I think Pinkel did a better job than the men's basketball program did of securing that in-state talent. But, you know, we've seen last year Missouri signed just one kid in their 2017 football class from the state of Missouri, which was I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I did a story about this over the winter. I mean, that's lower than Pinkel ever had. He always had, I think it was a minimum of 3 in-state kids in every one of his signing classes. And so it was pretty surprising to see only one in-state kid in the 2017 class, even though it wasn't a great year for talent in Missouri. There were kids that were going to other Power 5 schools that had Missouri offers. So they missed on some kids in state in 2017. But I think it was like, okay, no big deal, because 2018 is the class that's really loaded with talent, and that's when Missouri is going to make their hay. And that still might happen. Mm-hmm. If it doesn't, I think that's kind of a glaring question mark that Missouri is going to have to answer in terms of, you know, how much success they're having recruiting in state with this coaching staff.
Blake, I know you mostly cover football for Missouri, but you've also had a couple of chances to head over to the other school that's in town and doing quite well. Thank you very much. Columbia College, the Cougars, are back in postseason play, especially softball. Baseball's waiting on what's going to happen. They'll probably get an at-large bid. But softball, Wendy Spratt has just quietly and consistently built a winning program over there to the point where they're number 3 in the country. And I know Coach Aaron Earlywine always talks about pitching. They've got it at Columbia College in spades, don't they, right now with McCroskey and Welch?
Yeah, they do. And, I'll have a story in Thursday's Tribune taking a look at those two. Paxton Welch, she's the Helias graduate who's from New Bloomfield, got 55 career victories and been really good throughout her career, but she's going out with her best season. And then Lauren McCroskey from Kansas City, that was someone that Spratt thought was just going to kind of come in and blow everybody away since her freshman year. And she was really up and down for 3 seasons before just having a dynamite senior year. And what's interesting, both McCroskey and Welch credit their improvement to a graduate assistant, Jordan Logan, who you probably remember. George is Jordan Crisp from her playing days
at
college in North Callaway before that. Well, she's on the staff as a graduate assistant, and Coach Spratt has allowed her to call pitches from the dugout and kind of take the reins in handling that pitching staff. And this is the first time in Wendy Spratt's 23 years that she hasn't had the catchers call the pitches. She's having Jordan Logan, the grad assistant, do it, and it's worked wonderfully. The pitching staff just raves about her, and so I think kind of a it seems like a smart move that took some maturity from Wendy Spratt to do. You know, I think you do something the same way for 22 years. Sometimes it can be hard to change, but to her credit, I think she realized that Jordan Logan might have a knack for that, and it's worked really well. This is the best pitching staff they've had in more than a decade.
Well, and that's the one thing that we're seeing a lot of in softball is the pitches are called from the bench. Did you get any insight from Wendy on why that's much more prevalent now than the way it used to be and the way you see it in baseball? Is that the pitcher's making the call or the catcher?
Well, I think it's partially because of more information available to you. Back in the day when there wasn't much info available, probably didn't make much difference who was making the call, I guess. But now, you know, coaching staffs have more advanced staffs. They have more film available to them. So they can do, I think, a lot more advanced scouting of the opposing lineups and are, you know, probably better suited to call pitchers than maybe, you know, maybe your catcher is, who's spending a lot of time just focusing on their own craft, getting ready for the game, and maybe doesn't have as much time to analyze the opponent. And you know, that's one thing that Jordan Logan has brought to the table in terms of her calling pitches for Columbia is she really takes meticulous notes and kind of does some advanced scouting of Columbia's opponents and then is able to use that in how their pitching staff attacks those hitters. And so it's been really, really effective. And you know, one thing that Wendy talked about was she worried, you know, would the catchers be upset about being stripped of their duties of calling pitches? And she said, actually, it's been the opposite. They seem to be relieved a little bit and feel like they can focus on their other requirements in terms of just handling the staff, monitoring base runners and all that. And, you know, they don't have to worry about calling pitches. Now, they still relay the signal to the pitcher. The way Columbia does it, the pitcher doesn't get the signal from Jordan Logan. The catcher gets the signal and then relays it out to the pitcher. But in terms of making the decisions, that's coming from the dugout.
Blake, over at Columbia College, also some going-ons with the Human Resources Department, some movings and comings and goings. Jessica Keller steps away from the women's basketball team to head out to Illinois State and is succeeded by NAIA coach of the assistant coach of the year, Taylor Posale. And, you know, I know you, you've been aware of that and working on that. You know, what's your take on how that's going?
Yeah, I'm working on a feature story about Taylor Posale that's going to be in the paper on Friday. I had a chance to talk with him earlier today, and you know, he just had a remarkable run. I mean, he's only 27 years old, and his rise to this head coaching position has just been dotted with success all along the way. Of course, you know, Jessica Keller also deserves a large part of the credit for the success they've had the last 3 years. You know, Taylor was in the saddle alongside her for those three seasons. And then before that, he coached high school basketball for a couple of years as a young guy. I mean, he was hired as the head coach of a high school basketball team in Wisconsin when he was still in college. He was a college senior and was hired as the varsity coach of a girls basketball team in Wisconsin and ended up leading them to their first winning season in 8 years in his second year on the job. So a guy that's just kind of experienced success probably before what was expected of him, you know, in terms of his age at kind of every step of the way. And now at 27 years old, he's getting a chance to take the reins of a program that's been really successful over the years. And, you know, if you look at his track record, there's nothing that suggests to me that that's going to change. I think he can keep that going.
Were you surprised when you found out he was 27 years old?
Well, I'd done the research on him, so he does have a bit of a cherubic look, but you know, good for him. When he's you know, he's mid-30s, 40, 45 years old, I hope for, you know, he's still got that young look. That comes in handy down the road.
It can. He and Brad Stevens, I think, are the only two basketball coaches that could be in their 70s still carded.
Yeah, no, and again, I'd take it as a compliment, I suppose. But, yeah. You know, one thing I would say, sometimes, you know, young folks, whether that's, you know, young men, women, whatever, I think have a hard time being treated with the same level of respect that a veteran has. But, you know, you look at what he's done, and I think he's earned this chance. His track record, like I said, is really impressive.
Yeah, Blake Topmeyer, Columbia Daily Tribune. You can find him on Twitter at @BTopmeyer. Also, read the work. A couple of great pieces that we were just talking about here on Columbia College, one on softball, one on basketball coming out. The basketball one's Friday. When's the softball one coming out?
The softball one will be Thursday.
Okay, so Thursday, Friday. So still doing some solid work over there. Blake Topmeyer at the Columbia Daily Tribune. Blake, thank you much for the time, man. I appreciate it. And as always, is this good? Does this work for you?
I'll take it.
Okay. All right.
Well,
okay. All right. Sorry. I tried to be all happy and upbeat because the Royals won and Jay's happy about that and all that and fell right on my face. I'm sorry about that. I'll do better next time. Blake, thank you, man. Appreciate it. Have a good one.
Sounds great. Thanks, Dave.
All right. You are very welcome. Blake Topmeyer, Columbia Daily Tribune. We'll be right back. We've got more at the closes and we will address that right after this.
The closers on News Talk 1240 KLIK and News Talk 1400 KFRU.
All right, we're going to have a chance later on as we get ready to exit the hour. So be ready and be by your phone for NASCAR this weekend. Mother's Day weekend, NASCAR on Friday night and NASCAR on Saturday night at Kansas Speedway. Just listen for that NASCAR sounder and you can get in here and get those tickets. Also, and you don't really have to be able to do anything except get there this weekend.
Yeah, this is a thing.
This is a thing. Getting anywhere this weekend.
Right.
IndyCar Grand Prix at Indianapolis Motor Speedway this weekend. 3:30 scheduled start on Saturday the 13th. So if NASCAR is not your thing, but the open wheel is, I have a pair of tickets for the IndyCar Series Grand Prix at Indianapolis Motor Speedway this weekend.
Ooh.
So all the other stuff is on your own,
right?
But I have two tickets,
right,
that are available, and
we can get you in that door.
We can get you in the door or in the gate or however, you know, whatever. Basically, it's in the gate.
Sure.
We can get you in the gate. 442-8255. Those are also available today for you and tomorrow until we get rid of them. Okay.
Okay.
Where do we go here? We're going to be scrunched for time. Let's hit real quickly the St. Louis Cardinals. They pulled into first place last night because of two things. One, the New York Yankees helping out the cause. They sweep the Cubs over the weekend, and then they beat the Reds last night.
Mm-hmm.
So the Cards are now in first place by half a game.
Yep.
Cubs-Rockies got rained out yesterday, so that'll have to be rescheduled. Cards pick up the win last night. But here is the amazing stat for the St. Louis Cardinals. The number 9 spot,
uh-huh,
which is the pitcher.
Right.
Okay. Everybody on there, right?
Yes.
9th hitter.
Right.
They are the pitcher. They are hitting .422. Sorry. Slugging percentage of .455. 6 uh-huh home runs and 22 RBI.
Yep.
That's the 9th place hitter. Now, in the old days of Tony La Russa, you could go, well, yeah, but that's not always the pitcher.
Sure.
Well, this time it is.
It is.
Carlos Martinez last night, 2-for-4, 4 RBI. Adam Wainwright has hit home runs this year. He had a 3-run jack earlier in April,
uh-huh,
which actually helped him get his first win of the year.
Yep.
But last night, Martinez, and tonight, it's back to Adam Wainwright as he is on the bump tonight. But the Cardinals are producing out of a good portion of that lineup. And for them, that becomes so important.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that's really kind of neat is watching what happens when this team focuses.
It's true.
When they're focused, Jay, it's a really, really good ball team.
Yeah, when they're not making silly mistakes.
Stupid high school mistakes.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Just yeah, there are times where you just look at this Cardinals team and you go, I haven't seen mistakes like that since watching, you know, Hickman Rockbridge.
Yeah, I mean, that team just, it's you, I mean, you get.
That's the emotion right there.
Yeah, the exasperated side.
Yeah. With the Royals, I don't know. We'll talk with David Lusky in the second hour about them. But
yeah,
but it's just
it's a much bigger exasperated sigh.
You got enough air in there?
No.
No?
Okay. No.
All right, we'll let you work on that.
Okay.
All right, we'll be right back.
It's The Closers. Be part of the show now. 800-229-5378. News Talk 1240 KLIK and News Talk 1400 KFRU.
All right, welcome back. 442-8255 is the phone number that you're going to need here pretty soon. Incoming recruit for Missouri Tiger women's basketball, Kelsey Winfrey, has wrapped up her career with Lebanon.
Mm-hmm.
21 school records.
Okay.
Career points, 2,052. And she will be on the floor next fall for the Missouri Tigers.
Ooh.
Going to bring some scoring punch.
Yeah.
Which is good, because it's nice to have options out there on the floor.
Depth.
Yeah, depth and options. Yes. Yeah. Also, all SEC team, shortstop Braxton Burnside. She was named to the freshman all SEC team, and Reagan Nash selected second team all SEC.
Braxton Burnside definitely deserves that.
Well, she was getting national recognition.
Right.
For what she's doing at the plate. She's also pretty solid shortstop there for Coach Aaron Earlywine. Mm-hmm. They will play tomorrow late game down in Knoxville.
Against Lisieux?
Yes.
Oh, sorry. I thought we were just mispronouncing things.
Intentionally? Or
yeah.
No, it's Knoxville.
It's Louisville.
Yeah, but they're playing LSU.
In Knoxville?
Knoxville.
Okay.
Tennessee.
Okay.
Yeah. But they played earlier this year, and Missouri dropped 2 out of 3. Actually, it was just a couple of weeks ago
mm-hmm.
they played. Missouri dropping 2 out of 3, picking up the final win on that doubleheader day Saturday, 3-1. So this will be interesting. As Aaron Earlywine said yesterday, they're not going to know which one of the three LSU pitchers will go
yep.
until 30 minutes before the game. I think it's pretty solid. I think we're on pretty solid footing if we say that Missouri will be throwing Cheyenne Baxter.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The number one seed is Florida. They are the number one team in the country. They also have the lowest ERA in the country.
It's like those things go hand in hand.
It seems like it. It certainly seems like it. Hour number two is going to be right around the corner, and it will feature David Lesky from Baseball Prospectus, Kansas City.
News Talk 1240 KLIK and News Talk 1400 KFRU.